Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast. I would like for you to turn to Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians, the third chapter. When you find Colossians chapter 3, I would like for you just to put your hand in there or tithe an envelope or something and turn back left in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. So go to the center of your Bible, to Psalms, then Proverbs, then we get to Ecclesiastes. So Ecclesiastes chapter 1. If you find that, I want you to hold your Bibles up high. So you maybe your Bible looks something like this. If you got both sections open, maybe you don't want to be that rough with yours. I don't know. I tell you what, I love a Bible that folds all kinds of ways and then goes back real flat. Beautiful. This is a usable Bible here. Have you found it? Have you found it? Got your Bible? All right. Hold your tablet up, hold your phone up, hold your Bible up, or hold your hand up as a witness to the Word of God that what you believe about it. Would you repeat after me? This is the Word of God. It teaches me that God is for me. Jesus is with me. His Holy Spirit is in me. And His angels are all around me. This is good news. Do you believe it? This is good news. All right, this is a word for you today. God's got a word for you today. It's not just written in an ancient document. This is the Word of God is alive, and it reaches down to the depths of us. It's not just some dead words of a dead poet somewhere. This is the Word of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. So this is Solomon. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away, and another generation comes. But the earth abides forever. The sun also rises, and the sun goes down, and he hastens to the place where it arose. I want you to go back to the last part of verse 3. It says, in which he toils under the sun. Notice the emphasis there, under the sun. Then verse 5, the sun rises and the sun goes down. This morning I want to minister a word from the Lord that's under the sun. And the emphasis here, under the sun, but I want to emphasize in the title of this message, above the sun. Above the sun. Now turn over to Colossians, if you will. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is our life appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory above the sun. Stepping back just a moment to Ecclesiastes, on 29, at least 29 times, depending on your translation, but it's around that many times, Solomon uses the phrase under the sun, under the sun. And what Solomon emphasizes in the book of Ecclesiastes is that really apart from God, everything that we do under the sun is vanity. It's vain. It's temporary. It doesn't really bring any satisfaction. It fails to deliver. It just is not does not complete us. It is vanity and vexation of spirit. And this is language that Solomon uses over and over again. He emphasizes that possessions are not, that their end is vain. He'll even speak to the lusts of this life will end in vanity. All will be vain, and it will not have any good lasting impact upon our life. Merely, it gives what it gives, and it's over with, and it will not bring true joy. It will not bring peace. It will not bring happiness. And so we could go through everything that this world affords, and I'm telling you, when you go through the pages of Ecclesiastes, I don't think he leaves anything under the sun out of the picture. You can place everything this world somewhere under the sun in Ecclesiastes, but it will always fall short of what a man or woman needs. And so I just want to draw our attention to that subject today, because Paul in Colossians chapter 3, he says to set our heart and our mind in the right direction. That it's not below the sun that we work, but it is above the sun. Several weeks ago, while meditating on the Word, this particular passage in Ecclesiastes that I began with, I was confronted with it. In the sense that everything that I could think about, I just got to thinking, everything that is negative that we face, it literally is under the sun. But too often we seek things under the sun to correct the problem under the sun. We seek solutions under the sun. We seek satisfaction under the sun. We seek all of the answers of this world, and they leave us wanting. And it's very easy for us as believers to do the same thing. You see, that there's a world system that pulls upon us. We live in this world, but Jesus emphasized, you're in the world, but don't be of the world. Jesus understood, as God incarnate in the flesh, in Jesus Christ, He understood the pull of this world and how this world will try to draw you down. It literally is, it's not just the gravity that we deal with in the physical. There's a gravity in the spiritual that tries to pull us down, to keep us earthly, to keep us base and low. Now, you probably have heard a phrase like this. I know I have. But of someone perhaps that that it talks about heaven a lot. I remember some years ago this being a phrase somebody would use of somebody who was just always talking of heaven and above this world. And they'd say, but they were very impractical and you couldn't carry on a conversation with them. And they'd say something like this: they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. I know what the intent of that is, that, you know, there's, you got to be able to carry on a practical conversation with someone, but I don't think that's the problem of our world. We're too earthly minded to be any heavenly good. I think that is the emphasis of Scripture, that we're too earthly minded. You see, when we turn into the pages of the New Testament and see the words of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus, He is always pointing us into the direction of the kingdom of heaven, pointing us in the direction of God. He wants us to be focused heavenward, Godward, kingdom-minded, the kingdoms not of this earth, but of our Lord and of our Christ Jesus. He's wanting our minds to be set in that direction. And so may God help us. We see it even in the model prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, where it says, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is" where? In heaven, on earth as it is, on earth as it is. You see, it is a heavenly mindset that He wants us to have, not some weird thing of just talking about outer space, but we're talking about the kingdom of God. We're speaking of Christ Jesus our Lord. We're speaking of those things that are not base and low, those things, though, that are spiritual in nature. He wants us to have a mindset in that direction. And that's what the Apostle Paul is dealing with here. He's wanting us to get a mindset that is above the sun. S-U-N. He wants us to get out from a mindset that is fixated below the sun and to have an above the sun mindset, a heavenly mindset. I want us just to look again in Colossians 3, and this is a very simple text that you could outline and preach tomorrow at work. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. If we're going to have an above the sun mindset, verse 1 is telling us we need to focus on our position as a resurrected individual. We need to focus on our resurrected position. This is very important for us to think. Now, because he said, and it's a very clear statement, if then you are raised with Christ, meaning then, if you are saved, is another way of saying this. If you are born again, this is the way you should be thinking. In this room, he's not suggesting it as a good option here. He's saying, if you are raised with Christ, if you are born again, you need to be thinking in this way. So we need to focus on our resurrected position in Christ. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul talks about us being seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Now, what in the world is that? I want to tell you, this is what it means. As a believer in this room, you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. No. You're saying, "Pastor, I'm seated in Graniteville right now at Christian Heritage Church, half asleep on this seat. No, if you have been raised with Christ, if you are born again, though you are seated here in your fleshly body, spiritually, you have been resurrected and you are sitting with Him in heavenly places. I didn't make this up. This is the teaching of the New Testament. This is the teaching of the Apostle Paul to us, to the church of Ephesians and to us, that we've been placed in a position of authority with Christ. We've been placed in a position where we are to live above the base and low of this world. You're saying, well, are you saying I never should get discouraged? I'm not saying discouragement does not come in life. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you will never do anything wrong the rest of your life. That's not what we're saying. But we're saying spiritually, you are seated with Christ in the heavenlies, and because of that, you don't have a desire to sin. You want to live in Christ. You want to be seated with Him, and you want to walk in the authority of a victorious Christian, a victorious child of God. That's your desire. And you're seated there. And spiritually, we're leaning on that reality. We'll say that. I am saved by grace through faith, and I'm not trusting in my works lest I could just sit around and boast about it. It's not of myself, it's Him. That's what it's saying. I'm seated here right now in this world, but my trust is not in my flesh. My trust is not in the might and strength that exists within this world. I'm trusting Him who is seated in the heavenlies, and I'm seated with Him through Christ. Now that's, we need to focus and not lose focus. So we need to, if we're going to have an above the sun mindset, we got to remember where we're sitting. We got to remember where our car is parked. We got to remember where we are, where Christ has placed us. You see, with this kind of mindset, you don't give up easy. In fact, you don't give up because you're not resting in your own self. That does not mean that the temptation won't be to give up. Temptation is common to man. But the way it should be, if we're focused on the reality of the resurrection of Christ and what that means for us, is that we need to shift our mind toward, I'm not giving up. No matter how difficult the race may seem, I'm not going to quit. No matter how difficult the trial may be, I'm not giving up because my hope is in the Lord. Though my flesh may fail me, my hope is in the resurrected Christ. Though my strength may be failing me and I feel weak, this is why this is the reality. Paul said, when you are weak, you are strong. You see, because you're shifting but from below the sun to above the sun. See, in my flesh, I feel weak. It's below the sun, but I'm not staying there. I've got my heart and my mind fixed above the sun. Therefore, I am strong because my help and hope cometh from the Lord. And so, if we're going to live above the sun, we have to focus on our position and focus on our resurrected position. Let's look at it a little bit more. If then you were raised with Christ, it says, seek those things which are above. That's also translated, the word seek is also translated set your affections on things above. Seek or set. Set. And so I want you to see here that you need to focus on Christian discipline. Focus on being disciplined and continual discipline in your life. The word there, set, is an active word. It's not being just sitting somewhere, but it's set. It's setting. It's a mindset. Set your affections on things above. Seek those things which are above. There's an action going on here. And you and I need to focus on continual discipline so that we will keep a right mindset. It's not just being haphazard with our Christian walk. It's not just resting on our laurels, hoping everything works out, and that kind of thing. It's an active Christian life of discipleship, following Jesus, setting my affections, seeking those things which are above. So how do I seek those things which are above? One of the things that I got to continue to do is stay in the Word. We go all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, where we see Israel and how they went about teaching and staying focused on God. They put it everywhere. They put the Word of God upon the doorposts. They put it upon they even wrote it and put it places on their bodies. They would have something written. They had these phylacteries. They had where these little boxes, and it would be that would have scripture, and they were for prayer purposes and different things. But the point being is there was an intentional aspect to making sure that they had the Word of God in their life. And we even see the language there of an impressing of the Word upon themselves. And that's what I'm saying here for us in this discipline. We need to make sure that we have the imprint of God's Word in our life. The focus is not outward, but inward. The focus is not on as much on the doorpost as it is hiding God's Word in my heart that I don't sin against God. But at the same time, putting it on the mirror on a note card or writing it down in a prayer journal or putting it on the refrigerator or having a picture in the living room that with a scripture on it, whatever it is. I'm not against any of that, but what I'm saying to us is it's more about the impression of the Word of God being pressed. It's the Word being pressed upon our hearts. And so that requires discipline. That I go to His Word in order to hide His Word in my heart that I don't sin against Him. That I hide God's Word in my heart to help me to stay focused in the time of trial. To hide God's Word in my heart that I'll stay focused when everything is just going great in it. And I might even be tempted not to pray because things are going pretty well. It's not that desperate time when I find myself on my face all the time. But it's in those good times when maybe I just haven't taken the time. I hadn't had that something going on that pushed me to prayer, but that we pray anyway. We stay in His Word in the good times, not just in the bad, and have His Word impressed upon us. Prayer, Word, all of those things need to be a part of the discipline. We set a time for that. We set apart the Word of God in our life. We set apart communion with the Lord in prayer. And there can be other disciplines that we're involved in that have to do with our spiritual lives. Even keeping our body under subjection is a spiritual discipline. Unless you become a castaway and nobody won't even hear you present the gospel. So there's so many things we could get into. There's endless, because they're different for some of the things. There's some of the things that are common to all of us. For the prayer and the Word of God. That's the most important. And that's common. All of us need that. The Word makes that clear. But then there's some other disciplines in our life that may be unique to us because we know ourselves what we need to be doing and what we don't need to be doing. And we therefore discipline ourselves. You see, because the Word of God says, he that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I know people say, well, sin, but I want to tell you, that's true. But there may be something that's more is sinful to me, but might not be sinful to you. Why? You say, that don't make any sense to me. It's because me and God know about me. And you and God know about you. And so it's about a relationship. And there's some things he knows about my unique character that he has to chisel away in my life and speak to me individually about things. And if I disregard those things, then it is sin. And so we need continual discipline. If we're going to stay above the sun, having a mindset above the sun, it will require continual discipline. Furthermore, looking down, it's verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You need to focus as well, and I need to focus on my crucified position. My crucified position. Notice what it said again. It said, for you died. Who died? The person that's born again died. That's whom the apostle was talking to. Let's read it again. If then you... small letter Y, talking about the church. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you, little Y, died. Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. Therefore, it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I'm alive this morning, but I'm dead. We are alive today in Christ. Physically, we're alive, but spiritually, without Christ, we're dead. We know in trespasses of sins, but that's not what he's talking about here. Without Christ, you're dead in trespasses of sins, but because we have been born again, we have died to the old self. We've died to the sinful part of who we were. We died to the old man. We died to the flesh. And we died to our flesh through Jesus. And so I was crucified with Christ. Therefore, I was dead. In the same manner, as he is resurrected, you and I are resurrected with Christ. But being that I have died to self, and even Jesus himself said concerning being a disciple of the Lord, he said that we were to die daily. We were to die daily, so we got to remind ourselves that sin is no longer to have dominion in our life. We're not to be controlled by sin in this world. We shouldn't follow the just what our flesh wants and the dictates of this world, but we're pursuing after the Lord. We've died to sin. We've died to selfishness. Now, you say, well, I still battle with that. Yes, in this flesh. But that's where we got to set our... See, the difference is, he's saying, set your mind, set your heart on things above. Why? Because as long as you live in below the sun, you're going to continually have battles with stuff below the sun. But if you'll set your mind, set your heart on things above, you can be lifted above those things and you can remain dead to sin, dead to selfishness, and certainly dead to the leadership of the devil in our life. He has no control over you. Say amen to that. The devil has no control over you. You belong to the Lord. Don't you say, I'm just dealing with my demons. You're not just dealing with your demons unless you're inviting them. I'm going to tell you, they have no place in your life. You've been seated with Christ in the heavenlies. You died to sin. You died to the deeds of the flesh. You are dead to the dictates of the devil. And so you rise above all of that. You're greater than all of that. And don't listen to that lying thing. He's always trying to sneak back in. And he likes to sneak in our conversation. He likes to sneak into our mouth. Because if he can get a hold of our mouth and get us to talking downward instead of upward, he can keep us pressed down. I got to hurry up. Verse 3 again, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I just want to quickly say, focus on the reality that you have a hidden life in Christ. You have a hidden life in Christ. I want you to see that. In Christ, Paul said, the hope of glory. That we're in Christ. We're hidden with Him. That speaks of protection by Him. It speaks of the quality of our relationship with Him whereby we find our identification. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against the enemy. We're not just sitting somewhere off by ourselves somewhere. There is the Lord that is with us and we can find ourselves hidden in Him. I'm not preaching everything that could be preached on any of these points, but I want us to see today, we got to focus on who we are, and we're hidden in Christ. And then, lastly, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. I want to tell you, you need to focus as well on your future with Christ. Listen, we're only sojourners. We're pilgrims passing through. But there's a greater day beyond this flesh, beyond this under the sun aspect of our lives. There'll come a day when it will not only be the reality spiritually, but it'll be a reality in the flesh as well, that we will be together with Him. I want to tell you something. That is the blessed hope of every believer. Is the second coming of Jesus Christ. We shall see Him face to face in all of His glory. There's coming a day when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and all those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. There's coming a day when we shall see Him face to face in all of His glory. There's coming a day when Jesus shall put His feet upon this earth one more time in bodily form as the King of glory, as the Savior of the world, and you and I can look forward. We have hope in Jesus, not just now, but in our future. We belong to Him. We belong to Him. Would you say amen to that? Do you belong to the Lord today? Are you His? Hallelujah. And because you're His, you can live above the sun. Will you just lift your hands and say, God, I thank you that I can live above the sun. I can live above the sun. I can live above the dictates of this world. I can live above. And God, I know you're with me all the way. Your Holy Spirit is moving and working in me. Hallelujah to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you stand with me? Would you stand with me?
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.